Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. I pray that this message you're about to hear not only inspires you, but it also encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are, you might be thinking about them right now. I want to encourage you, share this message with them. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button. And also, I want to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside of these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and support us financially. There are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you for it. To continue or even to start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. All right, enjoy the sermon.
Hey, aren't you glad that as we face all the battles of life, we know that the victory has already been won by our Savior? Can we praise God today? Amen. Amen. Hey, always a pleasure and a joy to sing alongside of you. Hey, welcome to Christ Fellowship. My name is Zomar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as a lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. And today is our second week of a marriage series entitled, For God's Sakes, Fight, specifically Fight for Your Marriage. Last week, we learned about who the true enemy of our marriages is, right? And today, we're going to be learning how to fight the right way. And so, which by the way, today is actually my wedding anniversary. And so, I want to say happy anniversary to my wife, 7 years, and God has blessed us in tremendous ways. And so, happy anniversary, sweetheart. So, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3. And wherever you find yourself, you can follow along with me as I read, all right? Listen to what God's word says. And the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So we see early on, right, there was already contention and arguing, fighting in the marriage, all right? That's God's word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And church, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, I always remember growing up just being fascinated with American history. You know, if you think about it, just a few settlers coming to this land, in just a few years, we see that it becomes a great nation of United States. And if you studied American history, you know that there were two important wars early on, right? The Revolutionary War and then the Civil War. Now, folks, follow me here, because I don't have to tell you that these two wars were very different. You see, the Revolutionary War was very clear, right? It was brother alongside brother fighting against a common enemy, who was obviously Great Britain, right? And so it was clear. It was us versus them. However, the Civil War was much different. And really also very challenging and confusing. Because now it wasn't us versus them. Now it was brother fighting against brother. In the same house, in the same land, in the same nation. And so our commander-in-chief at that point, right, Abraham Lincoln, gave the people of this nation two charges. The first charge is, as you fight, as we enter into this civil war, the first charge is, listen, we're going to fight to abolish slavery. And the second charge was this: we're going to fight in order to preserve the Union. In other words, we're not going to sweep things under the rug, right? We're going to deal with it. We're going to fight. But we're not going to fight in order to divorce ourselves from each other. Rather, we're going to fight in order to preserve the Union. So that after this war, after this fight, we could come out on the other side, not a perfect union, but a better, a stronger union. And folks, let me just bring that over to our time together, because what an example of the charge that our commander-in-chief, God, gives each marriage, right? And by that, I mean that just like our nation's commander-in-chief, right, gave us a charge to fight in order to preserve the union, just like that. And here's the main idea for today as we open up God's word. You know, our commander-in-chief, God himself, knows that there are going to be times in a marriage where there's going to be arguments, there's going to be fighting, and there's going to be contention. But instead of a couple entering into those moments, in order to just tear each other apart and further divide themselves, God has given us a charge that as we enter into those arguments, into those fights, we're going to fight in order to preserve the marriage. So that after those fights, right, as we go through those fights and those arguments, on the other side, we might not be a perfect marriage, but we would be a better marriage, a stronger marriage. Amen? And who knows, maybe you're here right now, you're thinking, no more, listen, I'm listening to what you're saying, but what do you mean a stronger marriage as a result of an argument or a fight? Because oftentimes, you're not at home when we fight. Man, it gets challenging, it gets nasty. And sometimes, honestly, Omar, it's the most defeating moments in our lives. We hurt each other. I feel terrible. She feels terrible. They feel, it's just such a hurtful moment in our marriage. So how could it be that you can go into an argument, into a fight, but with the mentality of preserving the marriage? Well, folks, we're going to find out today from Genesis chapter 3, all right? And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3. And today, folks, I have three important reminders as to how to fight the right way. Are you all ready, Christ Fellowship? Yeah? Okay. So write this down as point number one, wherever you find yourself. Here we go. Here's the first thing to remember. And that is that fighting is a normal part of marriage. Now listen to what God's word says. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, now she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Now, folks, stop right there for just a moment and slip into the scene. Because last week we learned that the true enemy of every marriage, including Adam and Eve's and yours, is Satan himself. Now, folks, he is hell-bent on destroying and dividing your marriage. And so as we saw, right, after Satan was able to deceive Eve and then Adam and they fell into sin, right, we saw that he just like slithers away like nothing happens. And now Adam and Eve are left alone. They're in their sin and there seem to be fighting and there seem to be contention against each other. Now, I know that scripture doesn't go into details about this, right? But you can tell from the tone of Adam's voice, right, that they have been fighting. In fact, he says, the woman who you gave me, I was good by myself. The woman who you gave, she was the one who was deceived, and here we are, right? And so you can tell there's probably a lot of issues already between the moment of the fall when God shows up. And folks, here's what I want to highlight, right? And it's almost a basic point, but I think it's worth mentioning. And that is that even though fighting and arguing is not what God designed for a marriage, right? The reality is that after the fall, after sin comes into this world and into that relationship, there are going to be moments where there's contention. There's going to be moments where there is fighting and where there's arguing. And so in a sense, because of our fallen nature, things are going to happen, and to a certain extent, it's normal, right, in our condition. And folks, the reason I say this is because oftentimes when we get into arguments, when we get into fights at home, especially for those of us who are believers in Christ, there's the enemy could easily come around and begin to shame us about having an argument or having a fight. In other words, man, listen, if you guys are so godly, right? You got to go to church every weekend. You know, you read the Bible. You do all these things. Look at you. Look how you're fighting. How ashamed of you you should be yourself. You know, there's some sort of friction. So the enemy, in those moments, right, in moments of arguments, it's easy for us to feel this shame about it. When in reality, you know, even a Christian couple is going to go through moments of arguments, and there's going to be moments of fighting. It's just the way they are. After the fall and sinful nature, listen, there's going to be moments of contention in a marriage. And folks, even though it's normal to a certain extent, all right, write this down as big number two, fighting is a necessary part of marriage. Now, you may be thinking, what do you mean by this, Omar? Right? I thought we were in church. Well, what are you talking about? It's a necessary part of marriage. But what do you mean by that? Well, folks, here's why. Write this down as letter A. It's because arguments and fighting, listen, oftentimes it bring issues and frustrations up to the surface. In fact, when you look at Adam's statement to God, you can see almost what was really the issue and the frustrations of Adam at that juncture in time, right? He says, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." And so you can almost imagine the frustration of Adam before this, right? You could probably think Adam, right, between the fall and this moment, telling Eve, "Eve, how can you be so foolish? How can you be so gullible and fall for this trap? Look what you did, Eve. You brought this whole thing into our marriage. Now it's all this sin, all this sorrow, everything going on. Listen, we're here because of you. It's your fault." And then you can see Eve saying, "Oh, Mr. Godly Man, right? I thought you were supposed to be the leader of our marriage. Where were you when I was being tempted? Right? How come you didn't step in and protect me and help me, right? Well, why did you leave me?" You know, you see what I'm saying? And so you could tell, right, at the moment, it's almost like a couple fighting in the car, and they're going at it, and then they get before a counselor or a pastor, and now they talk normal, right, about the issues going on. It's almost like this, right? It's like God shows up, and you can tell they're going back and forth with each other, and now they're just saying, you know, now they're trying to act civilized around God, right? But folks, the point I'm trying to make is that fights and arguments are never about nothing. There's, you know, always fights and arguments are bringing to the surface some sort of frustration, some sort of disappointment, something's going on, and this argument and this marriage is bringing it to the surface. And sometimes it could be masked by just some silly things that are going on. So for example, one time I heard of a couple that were going at it, and they needed pastoral counseling. They needed somebody to help them with this huge issue in their marriage because the husband was so upset as to how the wife was loading the dishwasher. I sense some of us may be here not liking how the other person, you know, loads the dishwasher, right? But, and so the truth of the matter is when there's a fight, right, oftentimes it's not even about the topic at hand. It's surfacing something that's going on in the marriage. And so in the heat of the moment, right, when there's an argument beginning to start or, you know, there's a strong discussion beginning to surface, listen, we need to do the hard work and try to figure out what is really this argument all about. You know, what's underneath the surface? It's not about the dishwasher. There's other issues, right, that this moment is unearthing, and part of our responsibilities is for us to ask God in those moments for wisdom to see what's really going on. Perhaps they're stressed and overwhelmed and they're letting their stress out on you, or maybe you're stressed and you're overwhelmed, so you're responding in a sharp way. Maybe it's that they feel not heard or ignored. Maybe you feel not heard or ignored. Maybe they feel hurt, or maybe they're minimized in some way, or you feel minimized in some way. And so the truth of the matter is that when you start getting into those conversations, you need to remember what we're arguing about most likely is not the real topic at hand. And so you need to ask yourself, what am I truly feeling? What's really going on in my heart? What's really going on in their heart? Because listen, when you're able to start unearthing what's really going on, what's the truth, the true reason for this argument, then write this down, letter B, then the fighting can be leveraged to strengthen the marriage. You see, once you're able to decipher, okay, here's what's really going on, then you can use this moment in order to address things that maybe have not been addressed for a long time, but you know what? It's time to address them so that you can build a stronger marriage for the future. Now, I know that for many of us, we're thinking, listen, it sounds great in theory, Omar, right? But man, when the emotions start going and she starts saying that and he says it in that way and my emotions start to bubble up, listen, it is hard and it gets nasty. These fights get really, really nasty at home. So Omar, how can we fight, right? How can we argue? How can we have these strong discussions not to tear each other apart, but to make our marriage stronger? Well, here's the way, here's the key. You need to write this down as big number three. You need to fight the right way. And folks, here are a few thoughts for us to consider when we start to argue and we start to fight, which by the way, you can apply this to any relationship in your life, but especially for the marriage relationship, right? Here's the first thing that we need to remember. The moment emotions start to rise, all right? Write this down as letter A. The first thing is remember the true enemy. In fact, last week we learned, right? We learned from God's word. Be sober-minded, CF, right? Be watchful, couples, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking a marriage, seeking someone to what? Oh, you could do better than what? Yeah, to devour. And then we also learn for our marriages, for we do not wrestle, do not fight against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. And so here's what I want to encourage you. The moment that you start feeling all those emotions, and you know how it is, man. You start getting these feelings and you want to say things and you want to go at it. You need to stop and remind yourself who the true enemy is. And you need to say, you know what? We're about to start arguing. We're start about having some differences here. And we're going to go into this argument, but I am not going to let the true enemy win here, right? Because the enemy is looking at your life, looking at this relationship, and looking at this moment that you're about to argue, and he's trying to find a sliver where he can get between and begin to do the damage that he intends. And so when you're about to start a fight, listen, you need to do the hard work of reminding yourself, listen, I am not going to let the enemy capitalize on this fight and do harm to our marriage. Amen? Second of all, and this is so important, write this down as letter B, remain in control, not out of control. And folks, this is big. If there's one point that you take home with you today, let it be this, okay? In fact, God's word says this, a man without what, church? Come on, you could do better than that. A man without what? A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Now, folks, you see the imagery here. The imagery is of a city with surrounding walls, and the city represents everything you love. Your family, your spouse, your children, everything you hold so dearly is represented in the city, right? And then around it is some walls, right, to protect you from the enemy. And folks, here is what God's word is saying. When you and I, when we keep our self-control in the middle of an argument, don't miss this, it's like you keep the protective walls of your marriage up. It's kind of hard for the enemy to invade. But listen carefully. The moment you start losing your self-control, it's almost like the imagery. It's almost like the moment you start losing your self-control is you start putting down the bricks of that wall and you start exposing your marriage more to the attacks of the enemy. And the more you let yourself go out of control and start saying the things you want to say, and you keep losing control, you keep bringing down the protective walls of your marriage. And you know what? When you lost your self-control in the middle of that argument, guess what? The enemy could walk right in and begin to destroy and wreak havoc. In fact, if you start thinking about your life, the most hurtful moments of your marriage, the moments where lasting wounds were inflicted into the marriage was in those fights, in those arguments where you lost your self-control. And things were said that should not have been said, and things were done that should not have been done. Conversely, the moments, the arguments, and the fights in your marriage where they were most productive, that you were able to talk through the issues in your marriage, were those fights and those arguments that you kept your self-control. And so listen, there is something to be said that the moment that you enter into a fight, the moment you enter into a marriage, listen, you need to remember, I need to keep my self-control. Even if the other person is losing a little bit of control, you need to stand your ground and keep your control for the protection of your marriage. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. And so not only do you need to remember the enemy, also remain in control and not out of control, but also write this down, letter C. Express emotions then without dishonoring each other. So folks, going back to the previous point, right? When you argue, when you get into a fight, listen, you need to be real with yourself. You need to try to understand what's really going on in your heart, what's really happening in your heart, and you need to then express those feelings, those emotions, without disrespecting the other person. By the way, it's much easier to do this if you kept your self-control, amen? In fact, and it's only when you're able to keep your self-control and share your emotions in a respectful manner, then you're able to do it the right way. This is why God's word commands both husbands and wives, this is the wives first, right? God's word says, let the wife see that she, what church? Respects her husband. And folks, listen, wives, listen carefully for just a moment. You are called to respect and honor your husband. And it's easy for a wife, when they get into these fights, when you get into these arguments, to start calling your husband names, cursing, bringing him down, questioning his manhood, his leadership, right? It's easy for you to use that as weapons against your husband, but here's what I want you to understand. You use these weapons in order to get him to hear you, but what you're doing the moment you do that is that he shuts down on you. And everything you're saying, he's not listening anymore. Why? We know from the studies, love and respect, what a husband wants, desires the most is respect, and what a wife desires most is love, right? It's that give and go that we all know. And so, wives, listen, the moment that you lose your temper, that you start disrespecting him, you're not going to achieve anything that you want to accomplish
into the argument. And so wives, listen, respect your husbands, especially in those tense moments. And husbands, same thing goes for us, right? In fact, listen to what God's word says. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing what, men?
Honor
to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So husbands, listen, God is giving us here a charge, a warning that we're called to honor our wives as the weaker vessel. Now, the word weaker vessel here, it's not saying that women are inferior to men, with less dignity of men, with less intelligence of men, than men, nothing like that. We all know that before the Lord, right, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have the same dignity, the same worth, right? We're on equal footing before the Lord. But what the scripture is highlighting here is that women are more delicate in some ways, right? And so here's what happens. It's so easy in an argument for the man to begin to exert force. And I'm not talking about physical force. Obviously, that's a sin, and that's something, you know, completely out of line of character against God's desire, right? But I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about just exert force with their voice, with their demeanor, with their tone, with their attitude, right? And what happens, it's so easy for the man to start domineering with his tone and his voice to the point that it starts breaking down the woman and she feels hurt and broken. Does that make sense? And so what happens, what the warning that God's word is giving men is, listen, be careful that you are not honoring your wife and putting her down in such an extent that it begins to affect her in a significant way. And so I want you to treat your wife like she is my daughter. And you need to honor her and speak to her that way. And it's interesting how the warning here is, men, if you start crossing that line to being domineering over the woman, here's what happens. God's word says, listen, that your prayers will be hindered. That's what it says. Which means you could be praying for your marriage, you can be praying for your children, you could be praying for your career, you could be praying for your finances, you could be praying for a lot of things. But God says, if in those, especially in those moments, if you are not honoring your wife, your prayers are going to be hindered. And you know, it's interesting, the other day, Pastor Ray Perez, who is one of the leaders here, and he oversees all of our campuses and all of our campus pastors. As pastors, we're just kind of talking about, you know, this marriage series, that we're just having a discussion. And he said something that really challenged all the men. He said this. He said, if you get into an argument or into a fight with your wife, and you get to the point where your wife begins to be emotional and begins to break down and cry, you have gone too far. You have gone too far. If you as a man, if you've allowed the fighting to get to such a degree where your wife now is weeping and crying and emotional, you have gone too far. And you know what? At that point, no one's winning. You're not winning, and she's not winning. And so the challenge was, my goodness, the moment, you know, yes, are we going to have fights? But the moment that you start speaking in a way, men, that starts putting your wife down to such a degree, listen, that's a reminder you have gone too far. Step back, and you know changes need to be made at that moment. Amen? And so, listen, share each other what's going on in your life, what, you know, the loading of the dishwasher, whatever you need to share about what's frustrating you. But listen, wives and husbands, do so in a understanding, loving, respectful manner. Can you get an amen? And here's the next set of advice I would give you. Write this down, letter D. Stop and think of your children. In the middle of the fight, stop and think of your children. You know, God's word says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And sometimes, you know, when we hear that verse, we've heard that verse, it's, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, in the sense of, you know, the gospel, and that's great. In fact, many Christian schools use that verse, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, right? But have you noticed that also this could be applied to even things, the negative things, even things in marriages? So for example, let me just tweak this verse. You know, we go by the English Standard Version, right? I'm gonna change it to the Omar Standard Version for just a moment for the sake of this, for the sake of this part. So for example, we can read that verse to say this: train up a child in the way he should fight and argue with their spouse, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Listen, couples, the way that you fight, the way that you argue, is going to be exactly the same way that your children are going to argue and fight with their spouse in the future. Because why? They're watching and they're learning how it is that a husband and wife fights and argues. You know, it's interesting. The other day I was just talking to Pastor Carlos, and we were talking about, you know, all of us have like little core memories from our childhood, right? You know, we all have maybe, you know, a mom took you to get some ice cream, or your dad was at the park, or something was going on. And we have all those core memories, right? Memories that our parents don't even remember, right? Things that that happened, but in your little mind, that was imprinted into your mind, right? We all have those memories in our life. And we were just talking about how a lot of those are good memories, but some of those could also be bad memories. And if we get into fights and into arguments and we allow things to get out of control in the middle of a fight, oftentimes, here's what could happen. We can go at it, and your children are watching and hearing, and you finish the fight, and you make up, and you forget about the fight. You move on, and things are good. You make kids and make up, and you move forward. But you don't know if that's one of the core memories that's imprinted into your child's mind. Isn't that right? And so what I want to help you understand is that as you're getting into an argument, into a fight, listen, it's sometimes you got to have those things. Listen, you need to start thinking, is the way that I'm speaking, is the way that I'm behaving, is the way that I'm approaching this, is this the way that I want my little girl and my little boy to do so in the future? Because whatever example you're setting in right now, that is the same exact way that they're going to fight after you're long gone. After you're long gone, they're going to be fighting and arguing just like you fought and argued. And so what I want to encourage you, there has to be a moment, right? Which, by the way, there's some people who say, hey, you should never fight and argue in front of your children. And listen, I think that's true in some moments, right? There's some things, some discussions that should not be talked about, right? It needs to be had behind closed doors, and I agree with that. But this whole concept that you should never argue or fight in front of your children, I think it sets them up for failure. Because what happens is if they never see and model godly mom and a godly dad having a difference, right? If they never see that, then they won't know how to argue, right? And so you gotta ask yourself, listen, it's okay for your child to see you have differences. It's okay, it's part of life. There's gonna be differences, there's gonna be contentions, there's gonna be fights at times. But let those moments be. Think yourself, stop and think of your children. Not only are we doing this in order to preserve the marriage, but we're gonna handle this conversation so that our children could learn to fight and argue with their spouse the right way. Can I get an amen to that? And then last but not least, write this down, letter E. Listen, let the goal of every argument and every fight be honoring Christ and not winning the argument. You know, the sad truth is, in so many fights and so many arguments, the one who wins the fight, right? The one who wins the argument, oftentimes is the one who was least like Christ in the argument. And you think you won, but you did not honor Christ. And so you need to ask yourself, as you go into these heated conversations, listen, remind yourself, listen, the goal here is not to win the argument, but my goal as a child of God is to honor the Lord in this fight, in this argument. Amen? And listen, we want to help you as a church not only honor Christ in an argument, right? But listen, we want to help you honor Christ in every area of your marriage. That's why last week I shared with you all the resources that we have for you in order to be able to honor the Lord. And let me just quickly remind you, because you were not here with us last week, let me just quickly remind you. For example, the first step that we offered is, man, join a couples group. Listen, you were not meant in your life, all right? You were not meant to do the Christian life isolated from other couples, right? My encouragement to you, a good first step is get into a couples group with other couples who are not perfect, who are struggling with the same things you're struggling with, but you know what? Are pursuing the Lord just like you. You need other couples along your side. Another aspect will be attending a marriage seminar on April 19th and April 20th. As the campus pastor said earlier, listen, the reality is that when we were going to do it at West Kendall in a certain fashion, but we got sold out immediately. So we realized there was a huge need, so we're moving it to Palmetto Bay, and so is the Spanish. We're going to do both English and Spanish at the Palmetto Bay campus. But like I said last week, there's a little cost. It's just to cover your dinner, your breakfast, your snacks, all the things that go along with it. But if you feel like your marriage needs a little tune-up, to be strengthened, if you're in a bad place or you're in the brink of divorce, listen, like, come. It's every marriage can benefit from attending the marriage seminar, right? And I'm going to give you some ways of taking the next step later on. The other is seeking Christ-centered advice. Listen, if you sense, you know, early on, you know, there's some little issues here that we need to talk through, and we just need to address this before it gets worse, man, just approach another godly couple that you know. I know an older godly couple, maybe approach a small group leader, meet with them. Listen, it's not embarrassing to sit down and have a cup of coffee. You know what? It's the best thing you could do for your marriage. That way, you can address little issues and you can move forward. We're all here to help each other. Amen? And then also is Christ-centered counseling. Whether it's pastoral counseling, right? We have a team of 15 pastors here at Christ Fellowship that we are committed to meeting with you and helping you along the way. But we also are partners with Wellsprings Counseling Center, professional counseling center, Christ-centered, where you can go and meet with one of their counselors. They're ready to go. They can take in as many people as needed. But listen, if you feel like you are in need, do not stay quiet. Do not go down with the ship. Man, get some help. Talk to somebody. And I'm telling you, the moment you take that step, God begins to work. Amen? And so you can find, if you're interested in doing any of these things, you can go to our marriage website. In fact, you can go to cfmiami.org/marriage. You can scan it. There you can sign up for the seminar. You can sign up for a couple small group. You can sign up for pastoral counseling, Wellspring, whatever the case may be. But it's a one-stop shop, cfmiami.org/marriage. Or if you go to our main website at cfmiami.org, there you'll see at the top of our main website a banner. You can click on it, and it goes to the website that has all of these resources, okay? Everything you can find for, it's all there for you to really get the help. And by the way, in this website, you can also submit your questions, your questions for our Q&A. After this series is over next week, it's a short three-week series, we're going to get together a team of pastors and their wives, and on Thursday, March 24th, 1st at 8 p.m., we're going to be did it a little later so you can put the kids down and have some peace and quiet. You can sit down, and we're going to go through some questions submitted by you all, and we're going to answer them. And so if you have questions about marriage, issues, things that were discussed in this sermon, last week's sermons, the next week's sermon, whatever the case may be, if you have questions, submit them there in that website. It's also on that main webpage where you'll find it. And then we're going to answer as many as we can on that Q&A, but mark that in your calendars. I think it's going to be another great resource for you all, right? But folks, and by the way, the reason I say that we've offered so many things is because we want you to know, all right, that listen, our hearts as pastors, as the leaders of this church, is for our families, is for our marriages. Because we believe that when we have healthy marriages, we're going to have a healthy family. We have a healthy family, we're going to have a healthy church, right? And so we are overly committed in helping you and providing as much resource. So if you feel, man, that your marriage could be strengthened a little bit, listen, we're here to help you. We never want any couple in our church to ever say, you know what? Our church didn't care about our marriage, and we just kept going down the ship, and no one helped us. No, listen, we're offering any and every resource necessary for you to have the best marriage possible. Amen? Amen? So let me end with this. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said something very, very odd. He said this, "You've heard it, hate your enemies, but I say pray for your enemies." And I think the reason that the Lord said that is because it's easy for us in our hearts to hate our enemy. But you know, the moment that you begin to pray for your enemy, it's kind of hard to hate them, right? In fact, if there's somebody that you feel is attacking you in your life, other, you know, not your spouse, but just anybody, you start praying for them, praying for their salvation, praying for their family, let me tell you, your heart for them changes immediately. And so I thought, you know what? I want to give to us today a real practical, simple next step. It's going to be so simple, but let me tell you, this is the most powerful advice I could give you. And here's a charge I want to give every single married couple, all right? Whether you think you're doing great, not good, or pretty bad, here's the charge. Here's the homework I want to give to you. Every single night before you go to bed, the kids go to sleep, the couch and the bed, doesn't matter. Sit down, hold your spouse's hand, and pray with them. Pray out loud. Pray for each other. Pray for our marriage, for your marriage. Pray for protection. Pray for whatever the Lord puts in your heart. You sit down, you hold each other's hands, and you begin to pray. And listen, it may be a little awkward at first. It may be a little awkward a second, but I'm telling you, the more you do this, the more things start to change. And the moment that I suggested that you sit down, you hold each other's hands, and you pray, if you cringed, this is especially for you. Yeah? Amen? If you feel like you cringe, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Listen, this is especially for you. This is the Spirit of God saying, listen up. Because listen, I'm not saying that this is the fix-all of every marriage, but I am telling you, the moment you start praying with your spouse out loud, listen, it goes from you being on two opposite ends to being together before the Lord. There's something so powerful. The moment that a husband and wife, they don't pray by themselves, but they pray together. There's something that happens that when your souls are intertwined, approaching Heavenly Father, listen, it starts doing something in the marriage. You want to fix your marriage? Pray together. And listen, if you feel your fights are nasty or getting bad, let me tell you something. If you start praying every night, it's going to change the way you fight. It's hard to get nasty with each other and curse and say all these things when you just prayed with each other. Amen? It changes things. And so listen, you want to know Dr. Omar's prescription for next week? Here, I'm writing for you. Listen, pray with your spouse. Even if me saying it makes you cringe, listen, do it. I am telling you, you go before the Lord, you start praying together, God begins to work in a way you would never even imagine, right? Let's be faithful. Let's do it. I'm telling you, it's going to change it for the good of your marriage, for the good of your children, for the good of your grandchildren. Do it. And I'm telling you, it's going to get less awkward as you go through it. But I'm telling you, at some point, it's going to become natural. And you're going to see the blessing it is of approaching your Heavenly Father together as one. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. All right. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you are a couple, if you're a married couple, I'm going to ask, or if you're engaged, you can stand up as well. I want to pray over you. So go ahead and stand up if you're married. If you're married. No, we're all going to stand a little bit in order to worship together. But if you're married and your spouse is with you, I want you to hold their hand, all right? Some of you haven't held hands in a long time. If you're with your spouse today, just hold your hand. And I'm going to pray over you right now, okay? And as I pray, you pray to God for yourself as well. Pray for your own marriage, amen? And then we're going to worship and we'll be dismissed. So let me pray for us. My Lord, Lord, our heart's desire is to honor you, Lord. We've been saved by you. We are your children. And so, Father, we want to honor you, but Lord, our marriages, can easily be so under attack. And so, Father, today we come before you, O Lord. And Father, we are committing ourselves again, reaffirming, Lord, to fight for our marriage, O God. Father, we want to pray, we want to experience your blessing, we want to experience your guidance, we want to experience everything you have for us. So, Father, we commit ourselves to fight for our marriage. And Lord, as we get into these arguments, as we get into these fights, Lord, I pray for our couples that they would remember the schemes of the enemy, O Lord, that they would stay under control and not out of control. Lord, that they would share each other and honor each other, that they would think of their children, O Lord, and that they would seek to honor you. And so, Father, I pray for a hedge of protection over our marriages. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that they would take steps in order to honor you. And I know, Lord, that as they seek you and pray together, that you're going to do something in their marriage that they would not even imagine. So, Father, I pray for them. Be with us, lead us as we seek to honor you. We love you and we thank you. It's in the precious name of Jesus I pray, and all of God's people say, amen. All right, folks, let's worship and be back next week as we continue this series.